I like the opportunity that's in front of us, and we have an opportunity to make the season mean something down the stretch because of the play and because of the opportunity of peaking at the right time. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of opinions on it, and we'll see how it plays out, but I'm with it.
Today on The Jump, you heard him. He's with it. Steph endorses the play-in tournament. Sorry, Draymond and Luka. Giannis returning to action for the Bucks. Who is that masked man? And Steve Nash issues a warning to Nets fans about their injury issues. That, cue the Jaws music. That's what that is. Oh, no. It's a Friday feel-good edition of The Jump.
Get it, yes.
Get it.
Should we do that?
Get it.
We...
Woohoo.
I can't
do that either.
No, she worked it.
Yeah, she's like, only like grandma could.
Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of just like pure joy moments on the WNBA draft last night. So much fun to see all those young women have their dreams come true. It is only the first step for y'all. All right, welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols alongside NBA champ Richard Jefferson, ESPN senior writer Ramona Shelburne. You're going to see my conversation with two-time MVP Steph Curry in just a bit. That's ahead of the Warriors primetime ABC showdown tomorrow night. But first, we have to talk about his performance last night. What? Steph scored 33 points in a 119-101 win over the Cavs. Curry topped 30 for a career-best 9th straight game. According to Elias, Curry's 30-point streak is second most all-time of any player who is at least 33 years old. Apparently, you're in the old guy category now. Steph, right behind Kobe and right in front of MJ, so that is not bad company to keep. Here is Steve Kerr on Steph Curry.
Well, he's been amazing. You know, he just does it night after night, and it's a lifetime of training and mental work, and I think maybe the absence, you know, when he hurt his tailbone, maybe gave him some fresh legs, because since his return, he's just been incredible, even by Steph's standards.
I love, by the way, all the Elias stats and all the computations. Steph Curry is on actual fire. That is the way to describe what is happening.
On Tuesdays, when the point is at 7.7.
He's got the most whatever. The man is incendiary. And look, Richard, you played with him. You played on that Warriors roster. Have you learned anything more about Steph Curry just from this stretch and what he's done under these circumstances?
Yes, but I would say I would go back to last year, right? When you knew their team was going to be shorthanded and they got off to a rough start, I think he has become a much better basketball player, you know, and that's hard to say about an MVP, but I'm saying navigating the team that he has, because this is, like, you look at the team that he has this year and the team that he had last year, prior to, you know, them making that first initial run and kind of introducing when Mark Jackson was the head coach, they've always had kind of a loaded squad or a very good squad. And I think last year he was still trying to figure out how to play with his teammates, but I think this year he's learning how not to do it on his own, but how to kind of go be himself with those guys.
Right.
No, Rachel, it reminds me of the year where Kobe went out and was just dropping 50 every night, right? And the message that I, when I watched it, was like, get that man some help. Oh, my gosh, give him some guys to play with. Because he went, that year was just, it was wonderful to watch, but it was also hard to watch. And I think with Steph, like, yes, Klay's going to come back, okay? Mm-hmm. Eventually, Klay will come back. But they need to build that roster out in, around him, because he's too good of a player to be competing for the 8th, 9th, 10th seed this year. Mm-hmm. And I like what he said about, I'm for the play-in tournament. I like this. We talk so much in the show and around the league about making the regular season matter.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how it matters? Is when guys like Steph Curry say it matters.
Right.
And they show up on a Thursday night in Cleveland and do what he did.
This is where I go back to the statement Mark Cuban made to our Tim McMahon. And Mark's point was, hey, by having to like sort of compete to either stay out of or just sort of be in the right position in the play-in bracket, we can't rest our guys down the stretch. Yes, that is the point.
Well, that's the point.
That is accurate. You have accurately explained what the NBA was going for, why it does make the regular season matter more, and what the fan base, frankly, that has been, you know, paying tickets slowly back in these arenas deserve to be able to see the stars play.
And it gives a group of teams that might have already been out, and then instead of having 8 teams and be like, hey, we're not going to make it, we're 4 games out, it's like, no, you have an opportunity. Keep going. Keep pushing. You never know what can happen. Mm-hmm. And I think just by doing this, and this is why I truly do like the play-in tournament, really, like, the 8-9 seed, the 7 seed, those teams, the probability of those teams winning is very, very slim.
Mm-hmm.
So let the bottom 5 teams battle it out for those 2 spots.
By the way, if the Mavericks and Warriors end up playing a play-in game, we will all be watching the Lucas Death show. So I think it's just good perspective on what is for the fans this season, and hopefully everyone can stay as healthy as possible. I do want to add that Warriors rookie center James Wiseman had surgery to fix that meniscus injury in his right knee. We've known that this was coming, but it was official. He now will miss the rest of the season, the team announced. We all wish him a speedy recovery. This just stinks. Injuries stink. That is my motto for this entire season. Injuries stink. Thursday night, let's talk about what was going on here in L.A., because it was the first time fans were allowed back in Staples Center since the NBA shut down in March of 2020. It was just under 2,000 fans, but they were loud. They were in the stands to watch their Lakers on the Celtics. L.A. also got some good news before the game. Anthony Davis officially cleared to full contact practice, Lakers coach Frank Vogel said. Vogel also said AD's return to game action is imminent. Maybe as soon as Monday, maybe a couple days after that. Now, he did say he'd be playing in shorter bursts, like 15 minutes, Ramona. Mm-hmm. But what does that pending return mean for this Lakers squad?
Well, listen, they got two games coming up against the Jazz. Mm-hmm. And then, Rachel, they have two very important games in Dallas.
Yes.
And when we're talking about, can the Lakers avoid this play-in tournament? Mm-hmm. Okay, next week. Again, in Dallas, they're staying over, okay?
Yeah.
We'll have that on TNT and ABC. You'll be there, okay?
I will.
If AD can come back for either one of those games and help the Lakers win one of them, that means so much when they're trying to stay out of that seven spot. But if they lose both those games, Dallas can really leapfrog them in the standings.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be tough. But I'll go back to what Greg Popovich said 15 years ago. I've been the one seed and I've been banged up and I've been the seven seed and I've been healthy and made it to the finals. Like, you want your guys to be very, very healthy. And I don't, obviously the Lakers don't want to be in a play-in situation. You don't want that. Teams are too good. Luka can get hot. Steph can get hot. And there's not a human on possible that can do anything about it.
Right.
But ultimately, as long as they're out of there, their focus is really health. I think they're still pretty confident about that.
I get it. And I know it's particularly fashionable right now to say seeding doesn't matter. We're hearing that in the East, too, that kind of thing. But your road to the finals, it does matter who you play.
Oh, yeah.
And there are teams at the top of the Western Conference bracket right now that I think even the Lakers.
It matters more in the East. It matters more in the East, I think, than it does.
If
you're talking about being fearful of somebody, if you're the Nets and you have to go through Embiid and you have to go through Giannis, so that means you're going to have more grueling games. It's going to be more intense. It's going to be more physical. And your team has already dealt with injury issues. In the West, truly, I still believe this about the Lakers. They fear no one, right? They could, you told them they had to go Utah Jazz first round, they had to go the Denver Nuggets second round, they had to go to Clippers, they'd be like, all right, cool, let's go. As long as we're healthy, we can take it out. I think it's different in the Eastern Conference.
The other thing, though, too, is you get a week off. If you avoid that play-in tournament, you got to play that week. Now, I know AD and LeBron might need some of those games to get back, but those are veterans.
LA Fitness is right down the street.
Yeah.
If they need to just get their wind up, they could be fine. It is going to be fascinating. And by the way, talk about possible matchups. We could see LeBron versus his friend Chris Paul early in the playoffs, depending on how the seeding falls.
Oh, poor Suns.
It could go the other way. Richard Jefferson. Arizona native Richard Jefferson.
Yeah, I love the Phoenix Suns. All I'm saying, though, is Bron has been in the finals 8 of the last 9 years, and 9 of the last 10 years. Yes, 9 out of the last 10 years, and the 1 year he wasn't, he didn't make the postseason. So when I go back to, oh, man, poor Suns. Don't feel bad. I'm not talking about you.
I would say that it is a more open Western Conference than we have seen in a while. Our friend Shea Serrano from The Ringer always made that famous LeBron decision tree. I know that I introduced that
favorites.
To you,
True.
Right? Is LeBron, are you in the conference LeBron plays in, yes or no? If the answer is no, you could make it to the finals.
Finals.
If the answer is yes, then the next decision tree is he on your team or not? If the answer is yes, you could make it
to the
finals, according to Shea. If the answer is no, sorry.
Not according to Shea, according to what the numbers have said the last decade.
It's just a fantastic thing. It's why I'd look it up on the internet. All right, coming up, we've got some news this morning about a big-time boss move Wayne Wade is making.
D-Wade?
Congratulations, sir.
Yeah.
That's coming up in just 2 minutes. Three-time NBA champion Dwayne Wade has purchased an ownership stake in the Utah Jazz, joining majority owner and team governor Ryan Smith. He's got plans to take an active role in the franchise and region. Wade who one could say already partially owned the Jazz as a player. I mean, it's pretty good. It's a good record. Told ESPN about his new role. Quote, "This goes way past my dream of playing in the NBA. Unfortunately, people in my community don't get this opportunity, and I do not take it lightly to have this opportunity." Another side to this coin, though, Heat owner Mickey Arison sending this via Twitter. Quote, "I want to congratulate Dwayne on his recent announcement. We had discussed having him join our ownership group after his retirement, but he was not prepared to commit at the time. Of course, I am disappointed he didn't reconsider. Having said that, I wish him good luck and much success with the Jazz. To me, Dwayne will always be a Heat lifer." So, Richard, what do you think about D. Wade, the owner, and then the tweet from Mickey?
Well, let me first say this. Like, I, you know, Mickey Arison's, you know, one of the best, you know, owners in the league. I think what he's trying to say, before you guys start yelling at me.
I think that's
before
true.
Before you guys start yelling at me.
Why didn't we do this?
We offered this to D. Wade. Like, that, and that's what it is. It's like, hey. We offered this to him. We would hope that he reconsidered. He got a better offer. This, at the end of the day, is business. Yep. I love all the loyalty talk, but this is business. D-Wade got an offer that he wanted to be a part of, and he chose that route. So this is not Mickey.
It's not just the offer. It's the role.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's going to play a pretty significant role here in Utah. And I think, you know, Rachel, a lot of people in business, like, sometimes you have to leave the place where you, that made you famous for them to see you a different way.
Yep.
You have to go leave and do things on your own.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ramona.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, Rachel. But like that is
gonna sip
three more months.
Yep, that's right.
Three more months.
Please, but, you're not going anywhere.
Like
you're so trapped.
Dwayne Wade is a businessman. Dwayne Wade is a budding mogul. He's not just your former player who was great in Miami and is a legend that you want to invite to your ownership group. He is a business mogul, and the Jazz see him that
way. I want to say one more thing. You know who Dwayne Wade is a very serious mentor to in this NBA? Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. They are very, very close. Donovan has patterned a lot of his game on Dwayne, and I expect this partnership to only blossom. Congratulations. D-Wade. Baller moves. Baller. Giannis had missed a career-high six straight games with left knee soreness. Mm-hmm. Returned last night. He scored 15 points, grabbed 5 rebounds, 25 minutes of action. How do you protect Giannis's knee with 17 games left in the season, Richard? Because, of course, you want him to keep gearing up for the playoffs, but you need him for the playoffs. And we've seen with knee injuries, Jamal Murray earlier this week, it can be rough.
I think, again, back-to-backs out, stuff like that. I think you have to gauge it. When I say back-to-backs, that means, like, it doesn't just mean the second in. It means, like, hey, if there's a game that our guys and we want to get some other guys' minutes and opportunities, Giannis, this is going to be one. I'm not a big fan of minute restrictions. Like, if a guy can go, he can go. Yes, working your way back is one thing. But just to take a semi-healthy player and be like, hey, we're just going to restrict
hard
you.
Number on
it's
it.
Like, dude, look, let's just limit your games. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's not practice and travel, but I think that's the only thing that you can do if you're looking for the future.
Well, the other thing, too, that helps is that they're pretty locked into that 3 seed.
Yeah.
Right. And they don't necessarily. I mean, Boston's making a little run here, but they're not. They're pretty set in that spot.
Yep.
And so you don't have that pressure of trying to climb the standings, trying to hold off somebody to catch you. Mm-hmm. I think for Giannis, the biggest thing now is it's not the team restricting you. Mm-hmm. It's got to come from you.
Yeah.
You've got to know your own limitations. You've got to know that you've got to be healthy for the playoffs. And I think his experiences over the last couple of years with those playoff disappointments have settled in, and he understands it himself now. It's not somebody telling him.
No, he's made the point. He and I have talked about this through this year. Is not winning every game is tough for him, right? It's tough for him to not put every single piece of energy he has into every single game. That is why he is wired. That is what made him an MVP. That is why he is so competitive. But he said that he has needed to dial that back a little bit for the greater good of the greater cause of later in the season. And as you said, that 3 spot means you will probably end up playing. If you find your way through the finals, you will have probably had to go through both the Nets and the Sixers. So that is something that they got to gear up for. All right, coming up, you're going to see my conversation with 2-time MVP, 3-time champion Steph Curry. Stick around to hear his thoughts on his hot streak, the play-in tournament, and how he's protecting his backside. Literally, the word butt pad comes up much more in this conversation than I ever would have expected coming in. Butt pad.
How did you ask that question?
I asked him what his friends thought and family thought.
There you go.
Steph Curry, speaking of Saturday night, has had quite a week. Monday, he passed Wilt Chamberlain for first on the Warriors' all-time scoring list. 2 days later, he drops 42 with 11 threes. Last night, he added 33 points to lead the Warriors to their fourth straight win. I got to sit down with him to talk about passing Wilt, the eventual return of Klay Thompson, and his recovery from that tailbone injury that, again, I just want to warn everybody, the words butt pad came up in this conversation way more than I ever would have expected. You take a look.
Those nights you have where you are just on fire and hitting from everywhere, take us inside, because it's not just that most of us mere mortals have never done that, but most players in the history of basketball have never gotten hot the way you can. What is that like?
I still haven't really found a great way to put it into words, because it's kind of just a flow and a rhythm. When you're in that vibe, it's a confidence unlike, you know, any other. And it's a zone that you don't really think about much, to be honest. It's just, you're kind of just living in the moment.
You had one of those nights the other night.
Stephen Curry, now the all-time leading scorer in Warriors franchise history. He shines brighter than the Big Dipper as he passes Wilt Chamberlain into history.
What did that mean to you, just with your history with this organization?
It's kind of surreal, to be honest. There's nothing that really prepares you for anything like that. And the first thought is, wow, to pass Wilt in any record book is dope. The second thought is, you know, 12 years, how many guys I play with, and you know how many moments and memories that you have along the way. And so that, for me, was a kind of a moment to kind of just appreciate and celebrate, and you know, hopefully I got a lot more in the tank to add to that scoring total.
Yeah, you gotta pad it now. You gotta make sure no one can pass you.
Exactly. Records are meant to be broken, but hopefully not this one.
You've talked about how it would be cool to play your entire career with the Warriors organization, a little Kobe Bryant style. How much of a priority is that for you? You have some contract decisions coming up this offseason.
It's always been a priority, and you know, when you look at guys like Dirk, Kobe, that I played, you know, against and have heard them talk about what that's meant, they don't speak on it lightly. There's a reverence for that club. You never know what can happen, obviously, but I feel like that's always been something that would mean so much to me. And you want to stay competitive. You want to stay in that fight where you're winning championships. And if I can accomplish both, that's the ultimate goal.
Steph, I was trying to sum up your last 6 or 7 years to kind of put it into the capsule of a question, and it's just a crazy roller coaster. You have been to this mountaintop, and then the crash of all of these injuries over the last 2 seasons. You just had another one with your top rookie, James Wiseman. How low do the lows get when you're in that situation? And then how do you turn yourself around and navigate so you can try to climb up that mountain again?
It's been an emotional roller coaster for sure. I feel like that 5-year run we had in the finals, you knew that it was going to come to an end, but it was going to be different, but you don't want injuries to be a part of it. And I was talking to Draymond about it. I think through all of this, you know, you realize how much you actually just love the game and love to play. It challenges you, but it makes it so rewarding, and you have to be able to separate the moment from the big picture, and that's been the biggest test for all of us.
This season may not end in a championship, but you guys are hovering around that play-in tournament. Draymond is Draymond, right? He said, does not motivate me at all. And Luka Doncic actually the other day said he doesn't even understand why there is a play-in tournament. Well, what do you think about the play-in tournament?
I like the opportunity. It's in front of us, and we have an opportunity to make the season mean something down the stretch because of the play-in, because of the opportunity of peaking at the right time. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of opinions on it, and we'll see how it plays out, but I'm with it.
We do need to talk about Klay Thompson, because he's been kayaking around the bay. And he wore a sailor outfit to the game the other night.
I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. Everybody look at me, because I'm sailing on a boat.
Well, first, when I saw him in the locker room, he was so excited that I recognized that, you know, he was going for a certain theme and that I appreciated his effort. Like, that meant so much to him. It was like, yes.
And the good news is, if you guys are ever on a ship and something happens to the captain, he can step in now. This is perfect.
You gotta have a man of, you know, many skill sets, and he's definitely, he can step in nice and comfortably there and save us all for sure.
I want to ask you about what felt like one of the most moving moments of the NBA season. You guys had a man named Aaron Taylor who had spent 26 years in San Quentin, worked really hard to rehabilitate himself, and did some prison play-by-play in the yard there for basketball games, and came out and was your PA announcer the other night. You got to share a moment with him on the court afterward where he was just speechless.
What was it like being the PA announcer for the Warriors tonight?
Hey, man, this is... Like I keep saying, this is surreal.
What was that like?
That was a moment. and knowing that he has a story to tell and an energy and a magnet to his personality that he put on full display.
6'5" point guard from Davidson, number 30, Stephen Curry, a.k.a. the Babyface Assassin.
As our PA announced, he's brought out so many nicknames that brought the Babyface Assassin that I hadn't heard in forever. But he just spoke with so much passion, and that meant so much for him to know, you know, he was seen and he was heard, and that was his moment, and he embraced it.
You also recently had to deal with a tailbone injury. The injury actually sidelined you longer than you expected. I don't know what coming back from that was like. I also wanted to know what your friends and your family had to say to you about having a hurt butt for so long.
Yeah, it was a very awkward injury. I do have a molded, plastered protection or butt pad, if you will, that keeps me from doing any more damage to it while I play through the injury. So it's more comical at this point. I'm past the hard parts of it, but I do have a constant reminder when I put my gear on before the game. The butt pad is definitely necessary.
We've also gotten to see some really fun moments with your family over this whole stretch. You're wearing the WNBA sweatshirt right now. Does this mean that one of your two daughters, you think, is going to be the next player? Do you think it's going to be your son? Because every time we see you with your kids, of course, we can't help but be reminded of all the footage of you on the sideline with your dad when he played.
No doubt. My oldest, I asked her if she wanted to play basketball, and it was a firm no. I asked her why, and she said she doesn't want to get hurt because she's seen me have so many injuries and coming home with a hand cast and a butt pad and sprained ankles and all that. So I said, I'm sorry I scared you away from the game on that front. But you'll see either my 5-year-old or my 2-year-old definitely playing at some point. They're definitely interested and they're obsessed with the game. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Tatum wants it. Got it.
You guys play the Celtics on ABC on Saturday night. Do you get that competitive itch a little bit knowing that Jason Tatum just dropped 53 in a game himself the other night? You guys could be out there going shot for shot in that zone you were talking about at the top of this conversation.
No doubt. I mean, especially at this point in the season, you know who's playing well and you know what teams are trending in the right direction. And for us, every game is a big game. You know, Jason, he's phenomenal talent. We'll see what the numbers look like, but I feel like it's always a great opportunity to play that Saturday primetime game in Boston.
We'll see if you get that unconscious feeling again.
I hope so.
Big thank you to Steph. Really fun there. It's going to be fun tomorrow night. Let's take a look at today's Difference Maker, brought to you by CarMax. The National Basketball Social Justice Coalition has announced that James Cadogan has been appointed its first executive director. The coalition will lead the NBA family's collaborative efforts to address racial inequality, advance social justice. James Cadogan is for real, people. He served as the inaugural director of the Thurgood Marshall Institute at the NAACP Legal Defense Fund and previously served 8 years in the administration of President Barack Obama. The NBA is lucky to have him, as are the rest of us. Congrats to him.
There we go.
Coming up, is missing 18 games this season ultimately going to wreck Joel Embiid's MVP chances? Ramona and I don't think so. We'll find out what Richard thinks next. Keep it locked to the Jump.
No one cares what I think.
Now here's Joel Embiid with Stephen A. Smith on the MVP race. Take a listen.
When we talk about league MVP right now, particularly as it pertains to centers, there's the Joker, Nikola Jokic, who hasn't missed a game this year, and then there's you with comparable, obviously, with better numbers. When you think about it right now, do you believe you're the league MVP?
You know, when Shaq won his MVP, you know, averaging 29.7 and, you know, 13 boards, you know, I'm up there when it comes to stats. And, you know, also, you know, being the best team in the East, you know, what more can you ask? And you look at the last two MVPs, same thing, Giannis. I mean, those were his numbers, and he had the best record in the East.
For the full conversation with Joel, you can watch SportsCenter with Stephen A. on Monday at 7 Eastern. You can also catch Joel Embiid on The Low Post. Really extensive interview, gets into not only this stuff, but talking about his fatherhood and all kinds. It's really, really sweet. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. Still hanging with Richard Jefferson, Ramona Shelburne. You did hear him talking about the MVP race there. And this is so fascinating what this is coming down to. And I hear the numbers here. Embiid has played 37 of 55 Sixers games so far. That's good for 67% of Philly's total. But remember, the season isn't over yet, right? So the lowest percentage of games played by an MVP ever, Bill Walton, he played 71% of his games back in 1978. If Embiid doesn't miss any more, if he just plays out the season, his percentage would be 75. So he would come in over that line. And Richard, this is all relevant because this has become a huge part of how we hear voters talking about who they are voting for. And I want to make the point here, this is not a knock against Nikola Jokic. The rest of this discussion, Nikola has had incredible numbers this season. But we have seen an offensive explosion unlike the NBA has ever experienced. It's statistically inflated this year. So you then have to look a little deeper. Joel's defensive numbers are not only on par, it's the fact...
On par with... Well,
he was talking about Shaq. About
His numbers are on par with great defensive. I thought you were talking about with Nikola Jokic.
No. His numbers are way ahead of Nikola Jokic on defense. So the injury aspect is the aspect that so many people are focusing on. Where are you on this?
My thing is tough with this because you don't want to. There's a difference. There was questions about rest. Mm-hmm. Should guys get MVPs? Yeah. I remember that was a big conversation when it was LeBron James, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook who ultimately ended up winning it, and James Harden got second. There was conversations like, well, I show up every day. Yes, if some guy takes one, two games off a month, they're going to be more rested than me. Their numbers might be better. This is different. This was an actual injury. And I think when you look at it, at the time of the injury, Joel Embiid was in front of Jokic. Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest. LeBron James was in front of Jokic.
Absolutely.
These guys go down, and now it's like, well, he hasn't missed any games. It's like, no. Wait a second. You can't penalize somebody because ultimately it's just like your starting spot. You don't lose your starting spot because you're
injured. Someone runs into your knee.
That's not how you lose your starting spot. So Jokic has had a great season, but I think we can't look at it as in its totality and say that that's the reason why.
Well, look, we come down to two questions. LeBron James always says one of the best abilities is availability. Okay? Mm-hmm. So Jokic has been available. That is true. But a couple of the games that Joel Embiid missed are not from the knee injury. They were because of COVID contact tracing protocols. One, he sat next to the bar. He had the barber, right? And the other one was when Seth Curry tested positive that game in New York. And so I think we have to factor that into the number of games that he missed and why they missed him. Mm-hmm. Okay, also, it comes down to defense. How much are you going to factor in defense in here? Because when you put them side by side, Joel Embiid leads Nikola Jokic in every single defensive category, except for steals, I guess, but blocks, twice as many. Okay.
Well, in the advanced analytics, the gap gets even wider.
But on and off the court, okay, of all of the MVP candidates, Joel Embiid, the Sixers, he's plus 15.8 points a game when Joel Embiid is on the court. With Nikola Jokic, it's plus 8.2. And that's double.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and the other MVP candidate, Steph is actually second. LeBron is there. Dame's ahead of him. I mean, there are a lot of people ahead. And when you just look at straight up plus minus, and I think when we get down to it, we're all going to have a choice. And we have to let this ball play out. Because, hey, look, what if LeBron comes back and the Lakers run the table at the end? Now we're going to talk about him back in the discussion. But let's wait till the end of the season. Let's look at how many games he actually plays. They all actually play. But for me, Philly going from the sixth spot in the Eastern Conference
to the number one seed.
Joel elevating his game on both ends of the court, that is a persuasive argument.
This was what I was talking about yesterday on the show, because this has become one of the dominant conversations, right? Being number one in your conference matters.
And a lot.
I do not think that, oh, it's the East. I'm sorry. The East has Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. Yeah. The East has Giannis Antetokounmpo, the two-time reigning MVP. So, oh, it's the East makes, sorry, that doesn't wash. And also, it is a two-way game. I am exhausted by everyone throwing up all of these offensive numbers and that having been the only marker of how we talk about things. There is another side of the court, so that has to matter also. And again, that is not a knock on Nikola Jokic. But, he's extremely qualified. Yeah. I think this is extremely close.
Sixers are second in the league in defense.
But I just don't get.
And we're talking about the
discounting of Joel out of this conversation. It makes no sense to me.
Best player in the game of basketball this season.
Regular season.
Regular season.
And well, look, Tim Bond has did his
straw poll. I wish we could just vote for the best player in the game of basketball. We can't yet. That's a different discussion. Go ahead.
Well, Tim Bond did his straw poll, and we had him on our radio show the other day, and it was like, well, when people voted, when they said they voted for Jokic, one of the big takeaways Tim had is that there wasn't a clear second. Like, nobody coalesced around one person, and that was mostly because everybody else around him has been hurt. Everyone else who was in that conversation before has been hurt and missed significant time. But So I said to him, I go, well, is Jokic just the last man standing? Mm-hmm. Is that how you get MVP because you're the last man standing? I don't know.
By the way, if we're just talking about a heavy offensive statistic sort of candidacy or numbers, I want to talk about Dame Lillard.
Yep.
I want to talk
about Steph
Curry. If whether you finish fifth or sixth doesn't matter,
no,
I want to talk about some of these other guys.
Let's not get carried away, people. Let's not get carried away. I understand that the point that you're trying to make, but the MVP race, unfortunately, due to injury, let's go the top five guys, all NBA.
I'm not saying those guys are going to win. No. I'm making the point that if that's all you're relying on, then those people have to bring those guys into the conversation. And let's be honest, neither one of those guys are going to win.
I would take away the COVID numbers. Just look at the injury. The COVID numbers, if he missed five or six games, I'm putting those in
there. I think
he got two games. Yeah. I would put him back in there. I would do that percentage based off games that he was available, based off of playing or injured. COVID is unfair because obviously Jokic
can
sit next to
him. COVID.
And again, now that guys have vaccines, and so there's less likely to happen. But COVID, like, that could have been Jokic, and it wasn't have been his fault or an injury.
But let's also say this about Jokic. If Denver hold on to that four spot, or if they even move up in the standings with Jamal Murray out, that's Jokic's case right there. So I think this last part of the season here, we gotta not judge right now, because this, the one thing we've learned this whole season is, let's let the games play out.
Ramona, you and I have said this every time Richard Jefferson has tried to force us to take our MVP vote now. You would have said a different thing every maybe 2 month period of this season. So that doesn't mean we don't know everything yet. We will know everything soon. Richard thinks he knows everything now. That's a larger issue. Coming up, Steve Nash says
Shoot your shot, Richard.
May not have their full roster at any point this regular season. How much does that matter? All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump. Little Sons of Anarchy, our show within
a
show. Woo! I'm always happy when this comes back. Sons of Anarchy, if you haven't watched it, you should watch it. All right. Phoenix defeating the Kings last night to extend their win streak to four games. Currently the second seed in the West. Richard, how scary do you think this team will be in the playoffs, considering you already trash-talked them earlier in the show, which was completely
I said that they would lose to LeBron James and Anthony Davis, the defending champions, in the first round if they played against them. That's not disrespect. That means that if they were in the Eastern Conference, they could have made it to the finals and would lose to them. So what I am trying to say, Ramona, is this.
You turned to me because you think I'll agree with you. Okay.
No, I think they're very, very dangerous. I could see them getting to a conference final.
You just, they got to prove it. They have a young team that hasn't won in the playoffs before, but guess what? They got Chris Paul and Drake Crowder on that team. Both guys that have had playoff success. So don't sleep on them.
Yep. Suns or Utah, if you had to pick one right now in a matchup?
I'll go with Utah.
Rachel?
I don't have to.
I'm not saying the MVP. Suns or Jazz? These are two most disrespected teams in the NBA. I'm done.
Steve Nash, let's talk about that. Earlier this week, he acknowledged the Nets, quote, may not get any games with our whole roster before the end of the season. Richard, as we know, the Big Three only played seven games together so far. How big of a deal is this for the Nets?
I don't think it's a big deal against lower tier opponents, but when you look around the league, you see a lot of people like the Los Angeles Lakers are dealing with that. Other teams are dealing with injuries. I think it is a big deal. Do I think that they have the talent to overcome it? Yes, I do. So if anybody could do it, it'll be them.
Usually when a group of superstars get together, they don't win the first year. Mm-hmm. It takes a year of learning. They're going to have to figure this out on the fly in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Remember when Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen got together? Every single one of those playoff series, except for the finals, went seven games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, here's what I think, though. Not a big deal at all.
Okay.
Look what happens. Yes. Okay. Tell me now, please tell me it's a big deal. Look, these guys, first of all, Kevin and James have played together for years.
Yep.
So even though it wasn't this year or recently, they have done it. They have that chemistry. Kyrie Irving has played with both of them. And by the way, if only two of them are in the lineup, look what they're winning
but,
by.
But it's not okay. Let's take out the chemistry. I think they're such elite offensive basketball minds and players. All vets. But let's just talk about being healthy for 2 months. That's what it's going to take. So if these guys, like, again, your body can condition up. Rest is good, but also building your conditioning up is very, very important. And so if you're not having your guys for 2 months, right, that's what it's going to take. To win a championship from the start of the postseason into the postseason, it's about 2 months, and they haven't done that yet. At any point in time in the last 7 months, they haven't been healthy for 2 months. That's the concern. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, but look at their numbers with only two of them.
I agree.
Yeah, look, Kevin Durant is so efficient. He doesn't have to be on the ball all the time, okay? And I think the biggest thing that happened to the Nets is they decided early on, James Harden's going to be the point guard.
Mm-hmm. They're good. There are all sorts of other things to worry about. I don't think that's
talent plays.
This just in at the buzzer. I hear that buzzer. It's Matinee Basketball in Salt Lake, and look who's there.
Oh,
new part owner Dwayne Wade. Already.
Congratulations, D-Wade.
Already making his presence felt. How excited do you think Jazz fans are about this? There's been a lot of change for them in this last year, Richard.
Yeah.
I say, like, fans, like, in Denver, Utah, like, all they want is the respect. And to have a guy, one of the legends of our game in recent days, say, I want to be a part of this ownership group in Utah, I think that is a compliment to the fans because they do have amazing fans and a great culture there at Utah.
Well, look, he developed a relationship with Ryan Smith. A business relationship, and I think they're both, Ryan's a little bit older, but they're about the same age, and so they're doing the same thing in this world, which is making a name for themselves and making a name in the NBA as an owner.
Look, I think it's going to be huge, and we need more minority ownership representation in the NBA, so it is very good to
see.
He's
not there to be ceremonial.
Let's give a little shout out to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We don't do birthdays
happy birthday.
On this show, but you get the birthday shout out, Kareem. See you Monday.